Section 1 of The Mask of Anarchy by Percy Bysshe Shelley. This is a LibriVox recording. All LibriVox recordings are in the public domain. For more information or to volunteer, please contact LibriVox.org. The Mask of Anarchy, a poem by Percy Bysshe Shelley, now first published with a preface by Leigh Hunt. Hope is strong. Justice and truth their winged child have found. Revolt of Islam. London, Edward Moxon, 64 New Bond Street, 1832. Preface. This poem was written by Mr. Shelley on occasion of the bloodshed at Manchester in the year 1819. I was editor of the Examiner at that time, and it was sent to me to be inserted or not in that journal, as I thought fit. I did not insert it, because I thought that the public at large had not become sufficiently discerning to do justice to the sincerity and kind-heartedness of the spirit that walked in this flaming robe of verse. His charity was avowedly more than proportionate to his indignation, yet I thought that even the suffering part of the people, judging not unnaturally from their own feelings and from the exasperation which suffering produces before it produces knowledge, would believe a hundredfold in his anger to what they would in his good intention, and this made me fear that the common enemy would take advantage of the mistake to do them both a disservice. Mr. Shelley's writings have since aided the general progress of knowledge in bringing about a wiser period, and an effusion which would have got him cruelly misrepresented a few years back will now do unequivocal honour to his memory and show everybody what a most considerate and kind, as well as fervent heart, the cause of the world has lost. The poem, though written purposely in a lax and familiar measure, is highly characteristical of the author. It has the usual ardour of his tone, the unbounded sensibility by which he combines the most domestic with the most remote and fanciful images, and the patience so beautifully checking, and, in fact, produced by the extreme impatience of his moral feeling. His patience is the deposit of many impatiences, acting upon an equal measure of understanding and moral taste. His wisdom is the wisdom of a heart overcharged with sensibility, acquiring the profoundest notions of justice from the completest sympathy, and at once taking refuge from its pain and working out its extremest purposes in the adoption of a stubborn and loving fortitude which neutralizes resistance. His very strokes of humour, while they startle with their extravagance and even ghastliness, cut to the heart with pathos. The fourth and fifth stanzas, for instance, of this poem involve an allusion which becomes affecting from our knowing what he must have felt when he wrote it. It is to his children, who were taken from him by the late Lord Chancellor, under that preposterous law by which every succeeding age might be made to blush for the tortures inflicted on the opinions of its predecessor. Anarchy the skeleton, riding through the streets and grinning and bowing on each side of him, as well as if his education had cost 10 millions to the nation, is another instance of the union of ludicrousness with terror. Hope, looking more like despair, and laying herself down before his horse's feet to die, is a touching image. The description of the rise and growth of the public enlightenment, upborne on wings whose grain was as the light of sunny rain, and producing thoughts as he went, as stars from night's loose hair are shaken, till on a sudden the prostrate multitude look up, and ankle-deep in blood, hope, that maiden most serene, was walking with a quiet mien, is rich with the author's usual treasury of imagery and splendid words. The 63rd is a delicious stanza, producing a most happy and comforting picture in the midst of visions of blood and tumult. We see the light from its cottage window, the substantial blessings of freedom are nobly described, and lastly, the advice given by the poet, the great national measure recommended by him, is singularly striking as a political anticipation. It advises what has since taken place, and what was felt by the grown wisdom of the age to be the only thing which could take place, with effect, as a final rebuke and nullification of the Tories, to wit, a calm, lawful and inflexible preparation for resistance, in the shape of a protesting
Sample complete. Ready to continue?